Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Delighted to have you with us on this Monday afternoon, early evening, early autumn. Summer passed. I didn't even notice it. I missed it this year. Usually it's a big day for me. I just realized, oh my gosh, it's October 1st. That means summer passed recently, and I didn't even notice it's passing. I guess I'm getting old. 888-318-7884 is our number, and we're talking about being anxious this hour. How much do you worry? Would you be willing to say maybe in your life worry is a problem, or maybe in the life of a loved one or another of yours? Worry, anxiety, it's really something of epidemic proportions. And our guest integrates insights from our Catholic faith with cutting-edge psychological research to help the anxious person form a plan for conquering anxiety and living a life of true peace, which I will venture to say from a theological perspective, I think we can say with absolute certainty that is the life that Christ wants for you, a life of true peace. 888-318-7884, as I said, is the number. If you prefer the spelled version, it's 888-31-TRUTH. And who is this guest of which I speak? Dr. Gregory Popcheck, the founder and director of the Pastoral Solutions Institute, a Catholic telecounseling practice that provides help and faithful solutions to tough marriage, family, and personal problems. He is a psychotherapist and speaker, author of well over now a dozen books, I imagine, that give practical advice on all kinds of things. And he and his wife, Lisa, host More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck each weekday at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central on the EWTN radio network. As I said, the brand new book is on anxiety. It's called Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. I just saying it makes me feel better. Dr. Popcheck, thanks for being with us.
Deep cleansing breath.
Yes, I need that deep cleansing breath. In fact, I actually do. I thought the book was out already, but it's coming out the 19th, so you can pre-order it on.
That's right. Yeah, it'll be available in about a week or so.
I gotcha. Okay. So is that really true that anxiety, worry, upset is an epidemic?
Yeah, no question about it. About one in five visits to the primary care physician have to do with anxiety. About 20% of Americans struggle with full-blown diagnosed anxiety disorders, and that's just the people who have actually gone to the doctor to talk about it. You know, so the reality is stress, worry, anxiety is a pretty common part of our human experience, and for a lot of people it becomes a very serious problem that inhibits their ability to function at work or in their life or relationships. And so the book is really all about how we can get a handle on our stress, worry, and anxiety, whatever degree we're experiencing it in our lives.
Now, you say it's part of the common human experience. I'm sure that that's correct. Would you say that there are factors that make it worse for the person today than maybe in olden times?
Well, sure. I mean, and one of the things we talk about in the book, I actually address anxiety from a physical, psychological, spiritual, and relational perspective. So we try to look at those different dimensions of anxiety and how each of those aspects of our experience contribute to it. But, you know, one of the more, to respond to your question specifically, you know, one of the more common contributors to our anxiety now is the fact that we're all disconnected from one another. I mean, on the one hand, we're more connected because we're wired into each other. On the other hand, we have weaker relationships, weaker ties than we used to have. Communities are not as integrated in terms of relationship as they once were. Their families are disintegrated in many ways. The reality is we have less time to spend on our important relationships. And, you know, it's interesting. The brain is actually wired to emphasize negative experiences, except in one condition. But to emphasize that for just a second, think about it, right? You know, you get 10 people that compliment you and one person that criticizes you. Which one do you think about? Right?
Oh, that's so easy. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes.
Right. Okay, so the brain is actually wired to emphasize negative experiences over positive experiences, except in one condition, when we feel connected to other people. So our connection to others is one of the most important and also most overlooked aspects of defeating anxiety. The more alone we feel, the more isolated we feel, the more disconnected we feel from the people in our lives, the more prone to anxiety we actually are. You know, and it kind of makes sense, right, from a historical perspective. If you're walking through the woods by yourself, you got to watch out for that saber-toothed tiger jumping out, right? But if you're walking with your tribe, you got somebody who has your back, you can relax. Well, it says in Genesis, it's not good for man to be alone, right? And the theology of the body really reminds us that we can learn a lot about God's plan for our lives by the way our bodies are created. And our bodies tell us that we were not created to be alone. But when we feel cut off, and we feel isolated, that's when the anxiety increases.
I have to say, it seems like if you look at the modern world then, especially the post-mass media modern world, it's like a big machine for giving you false or imitation connections and cutting down on the real connections you have with other people.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm always reminded of a book by Terry Pratchett, a fantasy writer, who had a book called Good Omen, Bad Omen, which was sort of about the end of the world. And he had his version of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, right, were these four bikers. And the one biker that was famine, he showed up on the world, and what he did, he created this product that allowed people to eat as much as they want, but it didn't have any calories or any nutrition in it. So they were starving to death the more they ate. And I feel like that's a perfect metaphor for our wired world, where we're more connected to people all over the world than we ever have been, and never have we been more lonely and isolated at the same time.
Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety is the name of the brand new book from Dr. Gregory Pupchek, who's given us very, very many fine books that will help you in your marriage or in your parenting or just getting through life in a fully human way. If you'd like to speak with Dr. Pupchek, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I have to say, I think there are people who will look at the title Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, and they will immediately conclude it's not possible. It cannot be done.
Sure. And that's one of the things I address right up front in the book. I mean, is that a tall order? Well, sure it is. But I think it's important, especially for Christians, to realize who we really are. You know, again, the theology of the body reminds us that the person that we see staring back at us in the mirror is not the person we were created to be, nor is it the person that we're going to be when God is done with us, right? The reality is we define who we really are based on what God intended us to be from the beginning of time and what God is working to make us at the end of time. What we are right now, that's a transition, right? But what we're working toward is allowing His grace to work in our lives and work in our hearts so that His promise can be fulfilled in us. And we were not created for anxiety. You know, we weren't created to be anxious, and God intends one day to deliver us from that anxiety. In fact, there are literally hundreds of scripture verses. I quote several of them in the book, but hundreds of scripture verses that talk about leaving our worries behind. There's no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. Von Balthasar, the theologian, said, when one surveys, even from a distance, how often and how openly scripture speaks about fear and anxiety, the initial conclusion presents itself. The Word of God is not afraid of fear or anxiety.
But we are, aren't we?
We are.
Right. We need to eat that scroll, so to speak. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Already loads of callers, and I'd like to let you talk with as many folks as you can this hour. Shall we go to calls?
Sounds great.
All right. I will just remind folks again, the book is called Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. It'll be out on the 19th. You can pre-order it now. 888-318-7884 is our number if you'd like to speak with the author, Dr. Gregory Pupchek. We go now to Carlos in Houston, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Carlos, your question for Dr. Pupchek.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Pupchek. And thank you for the show. Question is, I have experienced anxiety for many years and the worry. I experienced, of course, a lot of help from a secular world. And it's full of self-help and industry and also therapists. I'd like to hear what any specific advice from you from the holy world, spiritual world advice. And probably another related question about confession. I go to confession regularly. Is a fear, worry considered a sin?
It's not a sin. No feeling is a sin, because if, in order for something to be a sin, we have to will it, and we have to know that it's wrong, right? It has to be concerned with serious matter, but we also have to be able to consciously act on something. A feeling bubbles up kind of unbidden from our limbic system, you know, microseconds before we're even consciously aware of it. We can be responsible for our feelings, though, even though they're not sinful per se. And that's really the theme of the book. You know, it's not your fault that you have anxiety, but we can respond to that anxiety in healthy ways that allow us to let God's grace into our hearts and for Him to be able to transform us from the inside out so that we can decrease that anxiety through His grace and hopefully ultimately overcome it. You know, one of the things that there are lots of different things they talk about in the book, and some of them are drawn from secular sources, and some of them are drawn from our Christian spiritual tradition as well. But since you're asking specifically about are there faithful things that we can do, yes. In fact, there are several studies, most studies actually show, that people of faith are less prone to anxiety than other folks. But in order to get that faith benefit, you have to know a couple of things. First of all, you have to actually feel attached to God. I talk about different attachment styles in the book and how they relate to God. And the secure attachment style basically says, you know, I trust that God can take care of me, and I trust that I can be vulnerable to God. I trust that even when I mess up, God loves me and will forgive me and is working in me. But sometimes when we struggle with anxiety in our spiritual life, we encounter maybe a more anxious attachment style with God, where we feel like, you know, God isn't going to forgive me if I don't cross all my T's and dot my I's, that I could let God down in ways that he wouldn't be able to bring me back. And we can obsess about that. So you mentioned confession, for example. Sometimes people with anxiety develop something called scrupulosity, where they go to confession over and over and over again for the same sins, hoping that this time God will forgive them. And that actually, scrupulosity can be a sin because it separates us from God's mercy. So what I suggest to you, Carlos, as one thing that you can do to address your anxiety, and this won't cure all of it, but it can really be helpful, is to sit down every day in your prayer time and really reflect on God's love for you and all the ways He's providing for you. Write them down every day. What are the ways that you experienced God's love today? What are the ways that you experienced God's providence today? Give Him specific thanks for those particular things, not just generic thanks, oh God, you're so big, you're so wonderful, thank you, but specifically for those particular things that He did to say, Carlos, I love you, and I am here for you, and I am taking care of you, and you can trust me. When you write down, say, 5 to 10 of those things, it should be fairly easy to find those things if you take some time to really reflect on it. Give thanks to Him for each one of those things, and really reflect on how much God is moving heaven and earth to be with you and to show you that He loves you, and to really reflect on that. St. Ignatius of Loyola talked about the importance of really confirming ourselves in God's love before, for example, we do an examination of conscience, before we do any kind of discernment, because really we need to feel that perfect love that casts out that fear that would prevent us from allowing His grace into our hearts. Now, is that going to cure all of your anxiety? No. But what research has really shown is that people who take that time to be grateful and to keep a gratitude journal, to do prayerful exercises that relate to gratitude, can increase their happiness set point by about 25% and significantly decrease their anxiety as well. So since you're looking for some spiritual resources that you can turn to, I really recommend that you take at least 15 minutes a day to sit down and really praise God for the ways that He's provided for you that day and shown you His love.
Okay, Carlos?
Yeah, that's a very, very helpful. I really, really appreciate it. I just to confirm, I hear you clearly. During the frenzy of daily challenges at work, when I come out of anxiety, fear, sometimes really is a subconscious level, I do not need to confess those fears, anxiety, because they are not willed by me. Is correct?
That's right. But I will say this. What people don't realize is that we can get anointing of the sick for anxiety disorders or depression or other emotional problems as well. So I would encourage you to get that sacrament of healing that is the anointing of the sick, so that you can really open yourself up to that level of grace through the sacraments as well.
Thanks, Carlos. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more with Dr. Greg Popcheck on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Your questions, Catholic Answers Live. Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit MysticMonkCoffee.com. That's MysticMonkCoffee.com.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
I'm really a revert. There are a lot of converts on Catholic radio, a lot of reverts, those who have come back to the faith. And ever since I came back to a practice of my faith, I started praying the rosary, going to even daily mass, God has led me on an amazing journey and used me in a lot of incredible ways that I never dreamed would have been possible.
Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, tonight, midnight Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host this hour. Dr. Greg Popcheck is our guest. He's got a brand new book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. If you'd like to know more about him and what he does, or if you would need some counseling from faithful Catholics who can help you, go to CatholicCounselors.com. CatholicCounselors.com is Dr. Greg Popcheck's website. That's the website of the Pastoral Solutions Institute?
That's right, CatholicCounselors.com.
CatholicCounselors.com. And lots of calls for Dr. Popcheck. And so we go now to Ann in Cleveland, Ohio. Ann, your question for Dr. Gregory Popcheck.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I suffer from pretty bad anxiety, and I take medication for it and just to keep it in check, and it doesn't really work, and I also try to pray a lot, and I'm not really sure what to do anymore, and I thought maybe you could give me some advice.
Well, I'm just curious about the kind of help that you're getting. You talked about getting the medication. Are you currently receiving any kind of counseling as well?
Yes, I am.
And, and can you tell me a little bit about the nature of the counseling?
No.
Maybe you didn't understand the question. I said, can you tell me a little bit about what kind of counseling you're getting or what you're doing in counseling?
Well, it's actually with a psychologist, a clinical psychologist. I'm going for therapy, just stemming from a lot of issues from my childhood.
Are you getting any kind of techniques or tools to use between session, or is it mostly a supportive kind of counseling?
It's mostly supportive.
Okay. And that's good. I mean, I'm glad you're getting that. But one of the things that really has been shown to be the gold standard in research is something called cognitive behavioral therapy. And cognitive behavioral therapy works to help you identify what are both the messages that are kind of going through your head and the memories that are attached to those messages, and how can you challenge those messages in a way that allows you to reconnect to healthier, more positive and supportive experiences that you've had, or more positive movements of the spirits of you. Well, one of the things I talk about in Unworried is I integrate cognitive behavior therapy with principles from Ignatian spiritual discernment of spirits. So we talk a lot about how, you know, we have different thoughts that pass through our head, right? Where do they come from? Well, St. Ignatius would suggest that these different movements of the spirit, if you will, are either from the Holy Spirit if they lead you closer to God, or make it easier in some way or challenge you in some way to be more the person God wants you to be. Or they're desolations, they're whisperings of an evil spirit, if they are making it harder for you to connect to God, or harder for you to be the person that God wants you to be in some way. So we talk about how to identify those different voices, if you will, those whisperings on the spiritual level, on the psychological level, and help you start to do spiritual warfare against those messages that essentially lead to anxiety, because they cause us to feel separated from our best selves, from the people who love us, and even from God's grace. And so getting the kind of help that would allow you to start to challenge those messages and replace them with those more supportive, loving, nurturing messages from the Holy Spirit, and connect those with actual experiences that make those messages resonate for you, would be a really positive step. So we talk a lot about that in Unworried, and I'd recommend actually talking through that chapter in the book with your therapist right now, so that you can begin to do more of that kind of work. In terms of the medication, what recent studies have found is that anxiety medication can help in the short term, but a lot of people who are on it find what you're experiencing, that in the long term it can make recovery more difficult, because people have a tendency to lean more on the anxiety medication than they do on doing the exercises that can help them actually recover. So I'm not suggesting you get off the medication, but I am suggesting that maybe you talk with your doctor about coming to decrease the medication a little bit more and doing more exercises in between session so that you can learn to build those skills and increase your resilience as opposed to having to rely on that medication that's not really working all that well for you anyway. So those are two things to kind of follow up with your therapist about.
Okay, Ann.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks very, very much. I'm going to continue going to callers. And if you have a call and you'd like to talk to Dr. Popchak about anxiety, his brand new book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, we welcome your call, 888-318-7884. Before I go to those calls, however, I want to just share a little a paraphrase of what Sarah said on Facebook, and that is that she suffered with anxiety, very severe anxiety that turned into agoraphobia for about 20 years, and she was told that she just didn't have enough faith. She went to a therapist who is helping her work through what in fact was PTSD. What about that response? You just need to have more faith.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely not true at all. And I don't want anybody to think that what I'm saying is that at all. The reality is faithful, prayerful people get anxious. And it's not a question of we don't have enough faith, that we're somehow failing God. What I would say is that we can learn to use the spiritual resources that God gives us through our faith to become more resilient to stress, worry, and anxiety, and to respond more effectively to the stress, worry, and anxiety that we feel. And so it's not a matter of I've failed because I don't believe that God's going to save me from this enough, or that, you know, somehow I don't trust God enough. It's more that there are things that are either things that are not going right in my psychology or even my biology, right?
Yeah.
Because sometimes when we go through, when she talks about PTSD, trauma actually does rewire the brain in important ways. Now, the good news is psychotherapy is like physical therapy for the brain. And by doing the kinds of exercises I was just talking about with Anne, you can learn to rewire your brain through a process called neuroplasticity. But it takes some work and it takes some effort. And doing the kinds of exercises I was starting to talk about with Anne, as well as having a healthy prayer life that allows me to feel more connected to God, more aware of His presence in my life, more aware of the ways He's loving me and providing for me, can all do those things that help rewire the brain and enable it to be a less anxious mind. That said, you know, it's not my fault that I have anxiety. It's not that because of my lack of faith. There is something genuinely wrong when I'm feeling that anxiety, and especially if it becomes ingrained. My brain does have to be rewired in order to experience more peace.
I hope that's helpful to you, Sarah. It is not the Catholic position is not what some people may think. It doesn't equate to the prosperity gospel or to the word of faith gospel or this idea of the power of positive thinking. That's not what the gospel of Jesus is about. The gospel of Jesus is about taking up your cross each day and following. But if you need a doctor, you go to a doctor. If you need a counselor, you go to a counselor.
Yeah, that's correct. So it's not our fault if we're sick. It's not our fault if we're experiencing anxiety or even, you know, anxiety disorders. But the good news is there is a way to respond to those things that can help us find healing.
888-318-7884 is the number. Dr. Greg Popchak is our guest. His brand new book is Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. You can find out all about him and what he does at CatholicCounselors.com. We go now to Martha in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Martha, your question for Dr. Popchak.
Thanks for taking the call, and I appreciate y'all being on the air.
Thank you.
We have an 11-year-old daughter that we're trying to deal with her anxiety, but it seems like there are times when it increases, and then the other times where there's no mention of it at all. But we're trying to get some guidance on what's the best way to guide her. We try to reinforce that, besides telling her we love you, we know that she has talents, and we try to encourage her, but sometimes it doesn't seem to be enough.
Yeah, what happens when you try to talk someone through their anxiety is very often they get more anxious because what they hear in their heads is, you don't understand. In fact, Sai, you were talking about positive thinking, and there's been some research recently that shows that, ironically, positive thinking can actually make anxiety and depression worse, right? Because in the front of your head, you're saying things like, oh, gosh darn it, I can handle this. You know, God's not going to give me anything more than I can handle, in the front of your head. In the back of your head, you're hearing, yeah, right. And what's the voice you listen to? You listen to the, yeah, right, okay?
Right.
So when you're saying, Martha, when you're saying to your daughter, oh, sweetheart, you know, you have so many gifts, and I love you so much, and it's all going to be okay, what she's hearing in the back of her head is, Mom doesn't get it at all, right? I mean, you're doing the right thing. I mean, you're saying good things, but it's not connecting because she's too anxious. So why isn't she hearing it? Well, because when you're anxious, what happens is there's a part of your brain, if you actually do this, for me, okay? Take your right hand, tuck your thumb into your palm, put your four fingers over top of your thumb. So you make a fist, but your thumb's tucked to the inside, okay? That's a model of your brain, okay? And so if you imagine stress starting to affect your brain, you lift up those four fingers. That's your cortex going offline. Now you flip
your
lid.
We got to finish this thought on the other side. I'm sorry. I didn't do the clock very well.
Music.
No, that's fine. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back and figure out how your brain is like your fist with Dr. Greg Popchak right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
So, you're listening to Catholic Radio. I think it's safe to say that you probably want to become like Jesus. Theosis is a fancy word used to explain the process of becoming like Christ. It's how God takes sinners like you and me and transforms us into who we were created to be. Basically, rockin' saints. Clumsy Theosis is a podcast where I take 2,000 years of Catholic goodness, draw from the great minds and spiritual masters of the church, boil it down, distill it, and give practical advice to 21st century Christians. Basically, we'll learn how to do this Catholic thing like a boss. Subscribe to Clumsy Theosis wherever good podcasts are found.
A generation ago, Christian parents didn't have to worry about how to explain transgenderism to their 9-year-old or help their teenager deal with mockery at school for believing in traditional marriage. But today, as our culture's moral center continues to fly apart, and with every form of deviance publicly aired and celebrated, we have no choice but to equip our kids to understand about such issues. In Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues, Layla Miller and Trent Horn give parents the crucial tools and techniques to form children with the understanding they need, appropriate to their age and maturity level, to meet the world's challenges. Silence can no longer be an option. If we're not teaching our children how to understand tough moral issues, then the world will. Read Made This Way and learn how to give your kids a firm foundation on which to build a life of moral clarity and happiness. Order your copy of Made This Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or logging on to the shop at Catholic.com.
Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Greg Popchak, our guest this hour. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. And Dr. Popchak's latest book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, you can get that wherever good Catholic books are sold, and probably just wherever books are sold, I imagine, in a few days here. So look for that, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. Dr. Popchak, along with his wife Lisa, are the hosts of More to Life with Greg and Lisa Popchak. That's a great title for people whose names are Greg and Lisa. More to Life with Greg and Lisa Popchak every weekday at 10 a.m. Eastern and different hours across the country. But we were talking with Martha before we went to the break, and she was talking about her daughter's anxiety and you were saying that sometimes positive reinforcement is not the thing to do with an anxious person. And you suggested we put our thumb into our palm, wrap our fingers around it. We've got a fist now, and you are going to explain how the human brain...
Yeah, well, so I was explaining why Martha's daughter can't hear all those warm, loving, supportive messages that she's trying to give her, all right? So your brain is sort of like a fist with the thumb tucked on the inside, okay? And as your stress goes up, those four fingers lift up, so you've flipped your lid, okay? That's your cortex going offline. Now, the thumb that's still tucked into the palm there, That's your limbic system. That's the seat of all the reactions and emotions that bubble up, you know, from your unconscious, essentially. So when you're anxious and stressed, the limbic system takes over, okay? You're just reacting to everything. But it's the cortex, those four fingers that represent you flipping your lid, go offline. And that's the part that needs to be reconnected to the limbic system to be able to hear all those warm, loving, supportive messages. So the first step, Martha, before you even say anything to your daughter, is say, "Hey, honey, come here a second." And just hold her in your arms and just say, "I just need you to stay with me for just a minute. And just let me hold you and show you how much I love you." Because here's what's going to happen. When you're hugging somebody, okay, literally your body is talking to the other person's body. And your heart rate is communicating to their heart rate. And your respiration is communicating to their respiration. And your muscle tone is communicating to their, and your body temperature is communicating with theirs. Your bodies are talking to each other. And the calm person is helping the more anxious person's body reset itself. You've experienced this in hugs, for example, yourself, where you're holding on to somebody and you're feeling really tense, and all of a sudden you go, you just exhale, right? That's a sign that your bodies are starting to sync up and that the person who is stressed is listening to your body and calming it down. Once she's in that calmer physical place, then you can start saying, "Now, honey, tell me about the other times when you've done a good job with this. Help me remember some times when you handled something really well." And get her to tell you the good things about her. Get her to tell you about past successes and past times when she maybe was anxious at first but did a really good job after. Walk her through the process of reconnecting her limbic system to her cortex so that her brain can talk to herself in a more supportive, more loving way. Once you've gotten her reconnected by bringing her into you and really helping her get back online through your body, communicating with her body. But the more you kind of talk at her from a distance and say all the right things to her, the more she, in her mind, thinks you don't really get it because her limbic system and her cortex aren't hooked up enough to be able to really hear what you're trying to say at that point.
Martha, what do you make of all that?
I think it's amazing.
I do, too.
Because I'm going to try that.
I know. I was thinking the same thing. Is that in the book?
Cause it's in Unworried.
Yeah, because I got to get that
Life
book.
Without Anxiety, yeah.
No, I really.
It's going to take a couple of times for you to do that, Martha. Like she's going to fight it a little bit at first. You know, she maybe be a little wiggly or squirmy. Just say, "I just need you to stay with me and just breathe with me. Just let's help each other calm down a little bit, you know, and just let her sit with it and then do this. Over the course of a couple of weeks, you're going to see a different kid on your hands.
I'm going to tell my mom to do that with me, too. I mean, she's...
We all need that, yeah. Right? We all need a mommy very
she'll
badly.
I'm 54, but she'll still do it. I know she will. 888-318-7884, our number. If you've got a question about anxiety for Dr. Greg Popchak, we welcome it. He handles these things from the perspective both of a well-prepared Catholic counselor, pastoral counselor, and as a psychotherapist. And you can find out all about that at CatholicCounselors.com. The book, again, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. We go now to Joyce in Albuquerque, New Mexico, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 130. Joyce, your question for Dr. Popchak.
Yes, Dr. Popchak. My question is, I have a family member who has been seeing a counselor for about a year and a half, and it was for an impulsive disorder related problem, and they have identified anxiety as being one of the biggest problems. And so, but it's the kind of counseling or therapy is called ACT, A-C-T, but the recently for anxiety they have been using a workbook which incorporates mindfulness for anxiety. And so I'm a little bit concerned about that because I know, you know, that's an alternative kind of, it's just not good. I know that, but he's had really good success with managing his anxiety.
So what's your question?
So my question is, what do you think about that kind of therapy, mindfulness?
Yeah. Well, ACT, okay, is acceptance and commitment therapy. That's what ACT stands for. And basically the idea of ACT is that I can have a feeling but not have to act on that feeling, right? I can learn to sort of say, wow, I'm really feeling anxious right now, but sort of from a disconnected position where I'm observing myself saying, yeah, but do I really want to act on that anxiety? Is my anxiety pointing to something that's really dangerous that I should avoid? Or is my anxiety maybe coming from something else? You know, the fact that I didn't have a good night's sleep, or that, you know, I'm over worried about something that I really don't have any control over. It teaches the person to sort of step back from their feelings and really consider what they need to do next so that they can choose to act instead of just reacting. That whole process I described, you know, is a very healthy process, and people who do, who have emotional resilience, people who are emotionally healthy, tend to do that kind of naturally. Now, the word mindfulness is really loaded with a lot of baggage, because most of the research on mindfulness and a lot of mindfulness-based therapies come from an either Eastern or Buddhist tradition now. But the term, as much as I don't like to use the term mindfulness, there are other words we can use that describe that process of being able to step back from our emotions, whether you want to call it receptivity, like the theology of the body does, or response flexibility, as some neuroscientists call it. That basic skill of being able to step back from my feelings and choose to act instead of just react is a basic function of being a human person that allows us to exercise free will. Without that ability to step back from our feelings, we just have to do whatever our feelings tell us to do, and there's no free will. But if I can learn, you know, I mean, practically speaking, I mean, obviously there's objectively there's free will, but I can't benefit from it if I just am a slave to my emotions, right? I'm not free, as St. Paul says. So what I have to do is I have to learn to take that breath that allows me to step back from those emotions and then choose to act rather than react. So that's the process of ACT. You know, I would discourage anybody from taking advantage of mindfulness-based approaches that are drawn from Eastern philosophies or Buddhist spirituality. But there are healthy ways to respond and develop this response flexibility or receptivity that allows us to choose to act as opposed to just react to our emotions. And so there can be a healthy way to approach ACT.
Joyce from Albuquerque, I hope that was helpful. I thank you for the call. I'm moving quickly now because I'm realizing there's lots of folks who want to talk to Dr. Pupchak. Jessica in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio 102.7 FM. You're next. Your question for Father Greg, for Dr. Greg Pupchak.
I got a promotion there.
And, well, you are also a father.
Well, yeah, of one kind, yes.
Yeah.
Well, hi, Dr. Pupchak. Thank you for taking my call. I was actually calling for myself. I have been struggling with anxiety for the last 6 years. Mine manifested. I've always been a kind of a tightly wound person, but it manifested itself after getting sick and going through a lot of infertility that ended up resulting in a hysterectomy. Mm. And that was kind of just the tipping point that sent me into the ER with panic attacks and led me down a road that I can instantly go into the fight or flight response with the littlest things. And so I took about a year for the doctors to figure out medicine. They put me on Zoloft, and that worked fairly well. But I've always been worried about the long-term side effects of being on that. I'd also gone to, we were living down in Greenville, South Carolina at the time, and I went through CBT therapy with a wonderful Southern Baptist Christian man who was very helpful, and unfortunately I have gotten away from practicing some of that CBT and now find myself struggling again. And so my question is twofold. One is being on these medications long term, you know, what are the risks for that? And two, if I'm going to get off of these permanently and go through the CBT, do you have books that you recommend, or do I need to go through a therapist to be able to work through this? And then I heard you talking about Ignatian spirituality. So how do I incorporate all of this? I really don't want to be on meds and
sure,
and have that crutch in my life. And I'd love
all
to
right.
be free.
Let's let Dr. Pupchak address that.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, for anybody who's taking medication, I don't want you to feel guilty about it or see it as a crutch. I mean, you know, again, Sai was pointing out, as Catholics, we recognize that God has given us many, many gifts that we can use to help us become what he created us to be. And medication is one of those things. I mean, we synthesize it, but it's made out of all of the stuff that God made first, right? So there's nothing wrong with it. Now, I can understand, though, why you'd want to get off the medication. You know, long-term antidepressants don't have a ton of negative side effects, but they can cause problems in terms of our intimate relationship with our spouse. They can cause problems with terms of sleep issues or, you know, some some other issues with weight and those kinds of things like that. So they're not perfect solutions, right? So I'm going to ask you to not make any changes without talking to your doctor about that, first of all. But if you do want to come off the medication long term, yeah, I mean, I would start to re-engage some of the notes that you got from your previous CBT therapist. If you say that was working well, if you kept a notebook at all from your therapy, go back to that, start working through some of those things. We talk a lot about these kinds of exercises in the book Unworried. I try to cover a lot of bases in there. And if you want to try to just do some self-help, you can start with that. And I do give some additional resources in there, other books that can be very, very helpful. Depending on whether your anxiety is more rooted in the physical aspect of your experience, the emotional, the spiritual, or the relational, because all those different areas of life can contribute to anxiety, and I give different exercises in each of those sections for how we can begin to alleviate the stressors that contribute to anxiety from those different dimensions of our experience. So maybe, you know, start working through that, see how you're doing, combining that with some of the work that you did previously with your therapist, and then if you find that you're still needing a little more support, then either reach back out to the person you were working with before, or give us a call at the Pastoral Solutions Institute. We'll hook you up. But yeah, I mean, the reality is, depending on the degree of anxiety that you're experiencing, you can do a lot through self-help. There's actually been some good research that shows that book therapy, bibliotherapy, self-help is really effective for treating mild to moderate anxiety. But if you find that it's still persistent after you're doing those exercises, there's nothing wrong with reaching out for that therapist and saying, hey, I need a booster shot.
Jessica, thank you so much for the call. We got to go to a quick break. Before we do, we're kicking off our annual fall store-wide sale today, and it's a great way to save money on all of the great resources you hear about here at Catholic Answers. Just enter the promo code CALIVE18 at checkout when you visit shop.catholic.com to save 20% off almost everything in our online store. 20% off. Just put in CALIVE18 at shop.catholic.com today and start your savings.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
A lot of people think that street evangelization involves yelling out of a bullhorn telling people that they're going to hell. Not so with St. Paul's Street Evangelization. Our methods are non-confrontational and effective. We simply offer information on the Catholic faith, along with rosaries, miraculous medals, and prayer. Pope Francis wrote about how beautiful it is to see street preachers joyfully bringing Jesus to every corner of the earth. Street evangelization is fun and fruitful. Join us today at streetevangelization.com.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
I love listening to Catholic Radio. It's perfect. It provides peace and it builds us up and strengthens us. We listen to it whenever we're in the car. My husband and I love it. He got me started with it before he even became a Catholic. He owns his own business and so he's working by himself and he listens to Catholic Radio. He's called in several times too. It's using the technology that we have for good.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
CatholicCounselors.com is the web address where Dr. Greg Popchek can be located. Pastoral Solutions Institute is the organization he founded, and he continues as director there. They provide Catholic telecounseling to provide faithful solutions to tough marriage, family, and personal problems. His newest book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, which I have to say, every time I say it, makes me feel a little bit better. Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. And that is what we are discussing today. Up next is an anonymous caller listening on the EWTN app. Anonymous caller, your question for Dr. Greg Popchek.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay, good. I believe I trust God more and more each day. But my husband has all the characteristics of narcissistic personality disorder, and so I never know one day to the next if something's going to set him off. And then it's like the anxiety is contagious, and I just feel like I have to get away from him. Is there something in your book or that would address that specifically, or do you have a suggestion for me?
Sure. There are lots of things. Can I ask what kind of help you're getting? Are you getting any kind of help at all so far?
Me personally or?
Yeah, you personally.
Actually, I've had a lot of counseling.
Okay.
And the last counseling session I had did not go well. Well, a lot of them didn't go well. The last one was really bad. My anxiety went through the roof.
All right. Obviously, we don't have time to get into the whole history there. But what I would suggest to you, and we talk about this in the book, that in the section on how relationships can contribute to our anxiety, we talk a lot about how living around with people who make us feel crazy really does contribute significantly to anxiety. And how do we begin to untangle that? Because anxiety, believe it or not, is actually a sign. From our bodies that says things are not working right. Okay. And in a sense, it's a helpful thing, right? It's supposed to say you're not functioning at your best. There are threats here that need to be addressed. And you really are. You're living with a person who has a narcissistic personality disorder, who really only thinks about themselves. And tends to be kind of impulsive that way and not really regard you as a person. If that's what they have, then this is the way it's going to play out in your relationship, where you're just kind of discounted and what they want goes and their feelings are the only ones that matter. That's very painful and difficult to live with somebody like that, because you don't get to even have needs, much less express those needs or get those needs met. And when that happens, that increases your anxiety, because that's all saying, you're not functioning. You're not functioning well. Your needs aren't being met. Things are falling apart. And that's what the anxiety is saying. It's saying, I need you to do something about this, right? So a good approach to therapy for you is learning how to set appropriate boundaries with your husband, not to drive him away or leave him, but to be able to say, okay, here is treatment that I can accept from you because it's loving and appropriate and respectful. Here are things I can't accept from you because they're not. And being very consistent inside yourself with that. Now, he won't like that. That'll get him upset. And as long as you keep trying to keep the lid on his crazy, then it's going to make you feel crazy too, because people with personality disorders especially are really good at making everybody around them feel, well, crazy. In fact, one of the ways you're kind of dealing with a personality disorder, if you're a therapist, is at the end of the session, you're wondering which end is up, and you're supposed to be the one who's helping people orient themselves to reality. They're very good at what they do. So you have to be really good at setting those boundaries and being very clear about what do you have a right to be treated appropriately? What do you have a right to expect from a healthy relationship, and holding him to that? That's where therapy is going to come in helpful, to give you that reality check, to say, are you just trying to live your day-to-day life, making him keep a lid on his crazy by you tiptoeing around and keeping your head down? Or are you setting appropriate boundaries that, yes, might be aggravating him, but enabling you to also insulate yourself from that abusive narcissistic treatment that would allow you to begin to feel like you're taking care of yourself and getting some of those needs met so that the anxiety can decrease?
Okay. Have you ever written a book specifically in dealing with situations like this?
Specifically on that topic, no. But we talk about this we can talk about this kind of situation in the relationship chapters in Unworried, and I think that you'll begin to get some good help there too.
Okay, Anonymous.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate the call. Moving now to Rick in Oceanside here in California. I believe there's an Oceanside in New Jersey too. That could be it. I don't know. Rick watches on YouTube, so I don't know where he is. Rick, are you here in California or New Jersey?
I'm here in California.
All right. Your question for Dr. Greg. I don't know why I needed to know that, except that I live in Oceanside here in California. That's probably the only reason. But your question for Dr. Popchak.
It was making you anxious.
It was. It was making me very anxious. You're correct.
Well, thank you for taking my call. It's the first time I've called in. I have a family member that suffers from anxiety and takes medication for it. A very highly functioning person. And I think the anxiety may have its roots in past drug use many years ago. And I'm wondering if there's ever hope for him to eventually stop having to use that.
I mean, again, psychotherapy is physical therapy for the brain. So anytime we are experiencing anxiety, it means that there is something physically wrong. Okay. The question is how serious is that physical abnormality? How much have those fear circuits been fried by our past experience, so that they, can they be helped? So it's the same kind of thing with physical therapy, right? If you get, if you are injured and you go to the physical therapist and it's a mild to moderate injury, there's pretty good chance you're going to get a full recovery. If, you know, you got run over by a car and you have every bone broken in your body, physical therapy can get you back up and functioning again, but you're probably still going to hurt. So the question is, you know, how bad have those systems been fried by his previous drug use to know, so it's impossible to know how far he can get with that. But the good news is if you're doing those exercises, you can reach sort of maximum therapeutic potential, and you can get a better sense of how far you can go with that. So I would really encourage anybody who's on medication for anxiety. The research really shows that the more you do cognitive behavioral therapy exercises that help you rewire your brain and help heal those fear circuits in your brain, the more you're able to see how far you can get. As opposed to if you just kind of suffer along and try to take medication to take the edge off of it.
Okay, Rick?
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Rick. I'm going to keep moving because I want to get to as many folks as we can. Samantha in Tampa, Florida, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 130. You are up next. Samantha, your question for Father Dr. Greg Popchak.
I have a question with regards to infidelity. If I know the person that I'm with has been unfaithful to me, I keep reading, you know, the lives of St. Rita and St. Monica and how their prayers and the way that they pray for their husbands made their husbands convert later on in life. And I keep praying for him and wanting the conversion, but I'm basically swimming through being angry at the same time that this is happening to me and my kids. So I don't know whether to, you know, cut lines or keep praying.
Dr. Popchak?
Well, you know, you have more options than just do I stay or do I go, right? You know, where you really need to be going with this is a little bit like what I was talking about with the previous caller here about learning how to set appropriate boundaries. See, because one of the things that happens with infidelity that a lot of people don't appreciate is that you know, lots of people have marital problems, but they don't all cheat. So what makes the difference there between somebody who's not happy in the relationship and, you know, works through it or, you know, handles it in other ways versus somebody who's maybe not happy and they cheat? Well, what it turns out is the person who commits infidelity very often is struggling with an undiagnosed depression. They're not very good at expressing their needs. They're not very good at dealing with conflict. They're not very good at kind of managing stress. So they stuff it all. They don't talk about it. And then they get depressed, right? Because all those needs are being unmet and they're getting all piled up. And then they meet somebody at the gym or at church or at work that makes them laugh and makes them feel good about themselves. And then they start using that person as a medication for the depression that they've experienced. So your job as the person who's been being cheated on, is to really learn to set appropriate boundaries with your husband that insists that he deal with his stuff, instead of kind of just, you know, saying, well, what did I do wrong to make this happen? Or, you know, what do I have to put up with? It's about learning what you have a right to expect from your relationship and starting to insist that the relationship look more like that. He's not going to want to change on his own because right now everything's working for him as far as he's concerned, right? He's literally having his cake and eating it too. But the good news for you is that there are a lot of things that you can learn to do to begin to make changes in this relationship and use that grace you're getting from all of that prayer to begin to set appropriate limits and boundaries with your husband so that it encourages healthy relations between you and him and discourages the unhealthy stuff that he's trying to do. You might not be able to save the relationship all on your own. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that research really shows there's a ton you can do, even if one spouse is only working on the relationship, even if their spouse is being unfaithful. You can really pull this back together in a lot of ways. A good marriage-friendly therapist can help you. You can learn more at like marriagefriendlytherapists.com. All of our therapists are marriage-friendly therapists at CatholicCounselors.com. There's a good book by Donald Bockham. It's not a Christian book, but it's an excellent research-based book on infidelity called Getting Past the Affair. I recommend checking that out as well.
Okay, Samantha.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much. We appreciate the call. Our guest is Dr. Greg Popchak. The book is Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. If you like what you hear from Dr. Popchak, you can hear him every morning on the EWTN Radio Network. More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak airs 10 a.m. Eastern each and every weekday morning across the country. Dr. Popchak, as we started by saying, it's an epidemic. And it sounds to me from what I've heard that we start to address that epidemic by, first of all, knowing that God loves us and doesn't want us to suffer with this anxiety, and then learning the techniques and living the kind of life that brings that anxiety down.
That's right. The more we can feel connected to God and the people around us, the more we can feel connected to our own resources and begin to say, how I can respond to my situation rather than react to it, the more I can overcome the anxiety that I'm experiencing.
It sounds like you're saying that that love God and love your neighbor thing, it's good for us, too. It's not just not just commandments.
Yeah, there's no question about that. It's all of God's commandments ultimately benefit us and help us to live healthy, holy, fulfilling lives.
Again, Dr. Greg Popcheck, the book is Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. Thank you for a very fine hour.
Thank you, Si.
Tomorrow, 2 hours of open forum with Tim Staples. Any question you got on the life, the faith, the history of the Catholic Church is welcome, and I'll bet you Tim's got an answer. See you then, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.